If we ever had a family movie, it's probably that one about how 9/11 was an inside job.
And I looked over at him, and he looked over at me with his whiskey, and he goes, "When boys were bloody men."
Give him a call. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm in Ohio." And he said it so casually. He said it like, "Yeah, I'm going to be a little late. I'm just going to need to go to Canada real quick." Fuck you, Dad!
All right. Well, welcome to another episode of Fuck You, Dad, everybody. Recording our first episode from our new studio at the Lincoln Lodge in Chicago.
Feels really official, Kenyon.
It does.
If you followed us from day one, you've been like, man, these guys have come from nothing, and now they're at a real place with real microphones.
The walls are painted.
Yes, yeah.
The walls are painted.
The walls are painted.
There isn't an air mattress in the background. There isn't an air mattress slash a little brother crying.
That really was the dark days of our podcast, is when you had your little brother's mattress just in your background.
In the background. You're like, this is a hot clip, but I think in the back is...
It's a mattress up against the wall.
Yeah, it's a methadone clinic outside.
That's how you know someone's in trouble, when their mattress isn't even on the floor. They've got to rearrange their whole room to do something.
You put up like a poster.
Yeah,
this is the decorum.
That was The Office season one of our podcast. I feel
for
like
sure.
That was the worst season for sure. But now we're here. Now we're killing it. Look at it. It's incredible. I sound incredible. We have a producer, Christine. She gave us a thumbs up.
Always wanted to say that.
I know.
Wanted to say that before. So that's nice.
Now every time we're wrong, we have someone to correct us, hopefully. Maybe she'll look something up.
What's she supposed to fact check? It's like, yeah. Your dad never said that he was proud of you. We're not
nice.
Really getting into historical facts here.
Just
my childhood.
Those stenographers. That's what those trial stenographers your whole life. That would be nice to keep track of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you were never the fastest kid in elementary school.
Never have. Oh, man. We haven't done a pod, just me and you, in a long time.
In a while.
This is exciting. I have some stuff to update on. I did some stuff.
What'd you do?
Adventures. I went on a trip with my buddies from... I have a gang of friends. We've all been friends from elementary school. A lot of people think... every time I tell people that, it's like I tell them I'm going to community college. They're like, oh, that's so smart to have those friends.
That's such a weird utilitarian way to look at just friends.
Yeah.
Where it's good the ground. But I did that too, and I think that's a kind of a small town thing. Where it's other people, they move around a lot. They meet a lot of people. It's no, the same morons I knew from elementary school. There was no new people in my life. It was just them. It was them and then the other kids. And I just, they didn't like me. So I was stuck with them for 12 years.
I didn't evolve, I got my group and I said, that's them. And I just, we are totally now totally different people.
Don't even know if I like my friends from elementary. But you're just, there's so much time into this. That I can't, it's like a movie that's bad. I can't turn it off.
Yeah,
halfway through.
No. I've committed too much time into the friendships now. Yeah. Years and years. So
it's like you can't just walk away now.
No, and they're fun enough. So, and nobody got tired of each other, which I thought was going to happen because we were going on this big journey. We all met in Denver.
Okay.
And then we were driving to Las Vegas and stopping at points, stopping at national parks on the way. And we were supposed to do mushrooms, but of course, every time. The guy who was supposed to get mushrooms just was like, I didn't get mushrooms.
Right.
But he's done that to us now 3 different times.
They don't tend to be the most motivated people, drug dealers.
Yeah. The people who go, I can score you drugs, usually aren't driven. And
they're not educated. They're not ready to go. They don't have, wake up in the morning, suits press kind of type thing.
And here's the thing, pre-trip, I was the bad guy because I was because they were talking about getting a lot of mushrooms and driving through Utah.
Right, is a terrible idea.
I think that's a bad idea.
Utah doesn't even handle regular beer. You could get in trouble for bringing regular 5%. I don't even know what Utah, their head would explode if they saw mushrooms in the car.
Well, because if a Mormon takes a mushroom, it's over. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Thing's over.
It's just done. The whole illusion's broken.
Yeah.
They're going, who's Joseph Smith?
Joseph Smith probably took some mushrooms.
Oh, that dude.
That's
was
a pretty, pretty mushroomy trip. He's like, hey, I found some golden tablets in the bag that says Jesus was from Mississippi or whatever. It's like that's a pretty mushroomy thing to say.
Yeah. And only I can read this, by the way.
Yeah,
Nobody else.
It's just me.
It's just my secret.
Yeah. Oh, it also says here you're going to have up to 50 wives or whatever.
Also, give me $1,600.
Yeah.
So we're doing this trip, right? Everything starts off really great. We get to Zion National Park, which is this desert. We're taking e-bikes. you know, I can't afford any of this, but I'm just like right. on the ride or whatever.
Yeah, that's a great American tradition. Go on a vacation you can't afford and deal with the credit card debt.
Exactly.
Forever.
Just yeah, racking yeah. up the Discover.
Yeah.
I'm buying stuff with the credit card, and the credit card company keeps sending me an email like, hey, you keep buying stuff, but you're out of, like, you don't have any money.
It's done.
Like,
so it's like texting an ex-girlfriend.
Exactly.
Like, it's over.
And I just keep doing it, and they're like, listen, we're going to keep charging you. Like, you can buy stuff, I guess, but you yeah. don't have any money. You should yeah. know that. But we get to Vegas, and I've got, like, $800 left.
Okay.
And all my buddies are like, oh, we're going to go crazy in Vegas. So I was like, okay, I'm with them. We're going crazy. Gambling. And it's just not going well.
As gambling sometimes does.
As it does. But here's the thing about, here's what I learned about Vegas. There's two different types of people in Las Vegas. There's rich people who are trying to ruin their lives for fun.
Yeah.
And there's poor people who are trying to make a life. Like, we're trying yeah. to get a life.
Well, that's the darkness of gambling.
Yeah.
Because the other people, he's like blowing off steam because that's the only way you get a rush anymore when you have millions of dollars.
Exactly.
Like, throw it down the ground. And then you got us who have like $10 riding on a parlay on the White Sox. And you're trying to make utilities money.
Exactly.
So that, it's a much darker thing.
No, it was.
The
it
stakes
was.
Are a lot higher.
There was a point where I was at a craps table and I was looking my friend in the eye and I was like, please roll a 10. Like, I've never been more serious for it. I was like, yeah. if you roll a 10 on these two dice, like, I can afford to get out of here, essentially. Yeah. Didn't roll a 10. Well, never rolls a 10.
It's kind of like when you first tried to get me into gambling, there was a period of time where I literally went on YouTube and I searched like successful gambling stories and nothing came up.
No.
There's no one on Forbes that put their life saving on like the Mets. There's no, every single story is like a TED talk of like, yeah, and then I lost everything.
Yeah.
You know?
I saw this documentary on Netflix. It was another like true crime thing. And this woman, who unfortunately later got murdered, but she had won like $40,000 on a slot machine in Vegas and yeah. then started a small business.
Oh, wow.
But then it went to shit.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of like, I mean, when your capital, like when your main investor is just luck of a slot machine,
yeah, yeah.
I don't know if the business is really going to, you
know. Take off.
But that gave me hope. I was like, there are smart people out there that are doing smart things with the gambling money. But yeah. it didn't happen. And then, so Sunday, this is the last day of the trip, was probably top five worst days of my life.
Really?
Like, with no, like, extra grief.
You had
like,
a pretty good life. One of the worst days of your life is a trip in Vegas, is a vacation in Vegas. It's one of the worst days of my life. My Delta flight was delayed. There was no advertised support. Sounds pretty funny.
Obviously, I haven't been through a lot, but this was a lot.
Yeah.
Because I lost all my money. Sunday yep. morning, my flight is at midnight out of Vegas because I'm an idiot. Because yeah. I thought, I was like, I'm going to be in Vegas. I'm going to have a blast. I'm going to want to be there all day Sunday. I got the midnight flight. Sunday morning, I wake up. I'm hungover. I'm like puking. I hate myself. I'm like, I got to get out of the city. Like, right. I'll pay more money. I don't even care. Just like, get me out of the city and have someone who loves me hug me. Like, that's what the city does to you, is it just wants you. I needed like love and attention. And
do you think that's like in the Vegas shuttle? Like, sometimes they have like a shuttle to hotel. Like, the out of Vegas shuttle, like, is just a caring mom that just goes, you made a mistake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, it's okay.
Everything's going to be okay.
Yeah. Just gets you on the forehead.
That's why
it's just like warm blankets. You're just crying outside.
Exactly. That's why prostitutes are so like, that's a big thing in Las Vegas, is because when you lose money, you just want a fucking hug.
Yeah, you're like, I don't even want, just please hug me.
Yeah, exactly. Just tell me everything's gonna be okay.
Right.
So I go to the airport early with all my friends who bought reasonable tickets, and I go to the Spirit counter, and I'm looking at all these ticket options, and I go, oh, there's one for today at 3 p.m. Like, let's go. I can get out of here early. Don't give it. I buy the ticket. And then I go to get my boarding pass out of the machine, and the machine goes, brr, brr, idiot.
Yeah,
red X.
You're not
going to
live.
Yeah, no,
we're not
sorry.
Done with you yet.
And I was like, what the fuck? And then I go up to the Spirit desk, and they're like, yeah, you... She doesn't even look up from the computer. She just, like, looks at the screen and is typing away, just like... And she's like, yeah, you bought a ticket for tomorrow.
Oh.
And I was like, immediately, I was like, I just bought it 10 minutes ago. Is there anything I can do? And she's just... No.
What?
It's just
that's like not even It's like not true at all. You always have like 24 hours.
Well, she was just like...
But that's with Spirit, because you went with the scummiest airline.
Exactly. No, I went with the Sopranos of the airline. Yeah, they seriously go, give me a $200.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to get on the plane? That's another $100.
Yeah, pretty much. It's literally like, paying for the seat. I mean, every hack joke has been done about it. It's like, yeah, you pay for oxygen on the thing. It's
exactly. Ridiculous. And so I'm just pissed. So now I'm down like a grand. I have a useless plane ticket. Right. So I just like wanted to like give up. So I get in the security line with my bags. All my friends are gone. It's just me. I lost my headphones. So
yeah,
I'm just,
I assume the hotel's gone.
Yeah, hotel's gone.
Oh, so you're just in Vegas till midnight. You got nowhere to be.
I have nowhere to be except at the airport.
Oh, my God. And you have no money.
I have negative money. I owe money.
Right. And you're at the most expensive place to be?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's about 2 p.m. and I've got, 10 hours. So I'm just in line in security. And it's weird to be at the airport and I'm not even mad that I'm in line.
Yeah, because you're like, this is killing time.
Yeah,
you're
keep
like,
the line
yeah,
coming.
Let's keep it going. We could panhandle here, try to get some of this money back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm in security, and my bag, of course, gets checked to be randomly searched.
Okay, there you
go. So I'm like, Nat, okay, any shitty thing that can happen today is going to happen. My bag is got pulled, so I wait around for the lady. She's unzipping it. She's like, is there anything that's going to stab me in here? And then I was like, no. And she's reaching around, and she pulls out like a spray can of sunscreen or whatever.
Okay.
That I didn't even know was in there. So I was like, oh, my bad. And she was like, oh, we can check the bag. You can leave it, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, at this point, I was just having such a bad day. I was like, let's have a fun joke. Let's try to make me feel better. So she was like, do you need the sunscreen? And I just said to her, I was like, oh, I live in Chicago. You can throw away the sunscreen.
Right.
Okay. I'm not Seinfeld on the Tonight Show.
You were just trying to be nice.
Just trying to nice little jib jab or whatever. She chuckles and throws it away. And then this woman who I don't know if she just must have appeared from hell itself. Yeah. She appears behind me and she goes, actually, sunscreen is to prevent skin cancer, and you can get skin cancer on overcast days no matter what the climate.
Oh, well, that's the funnest person at every party.
Dude,
that's the funnest. What brought you to somebody?
Exactly. Like, I'm a nice guy. I love everybody. I've never, ever felt this feeling before, but I wanted to be extremely rude to her.
Yeah.
I've never wanted to be rude to anybody in my life except for her in that exact moment. I'm like, I've just lost $1,000. I have a plane ticket to nowhere.
Also, you're probably going to die of skin cancer, Nick.
Yeah, I do. I am very
maybe you got a ticket out of this. It's the skin cancer you're probably about to get.
And I looked at her and I wanted to just be like, you're a loser, by the way. Nobody likes you. But I just went, yup. I just gave her a quick yup period and packed my bag. I go to my gate and I want to say it's all over, but it's not all over. I go to my gate. I just sit there. I fall asleep on my bags. I'm like laying on the floor. I'm just miserable. And it gets to be like midnight. Okay. I have like, there's like shit on my face. I'm like, there's sleep in my eyes.
What did you do for like 8 hours?
I watched Dirty John on Netflix.
Oh, there you go.
Yep. I watched Dirty John on my phone, and every hour I just kind of stare out the window for 15 minutes and go, God damn.
As you do. Should be like the travel ad for Las Vegas.
And people watching in Las Vegas is crazy.
They have slot machines in the airport.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you think it was did you have like $4 left that you wanted to make a dream come through?
The gambling was so bad, and I had lost so much that it was like I didn't even want to gamble anymore. It's like when you're so hammered and someone goes like, let's have another shot, and your whole body goes like, yeah,
I
can't.
You like to explain that like that was a crazy thing. You're like, I suffered the consequences of my own actions so much. It's like I realized that it's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
I was like, most people don't gamble, Nick. It's not crazy to not want to gamble anymore.
To me, that's a crazy feeling. It was a wild experience to look at a slot machine and be like, man, I don't want to sit down at that thing right now.
Yeah, well, let's ride this feeling out for the rest of your life. Let's take this feeling.
I know I'll be back. I'll know I'll be back next year.
Yeah, well, take these stories, bring them up in a group where you can introduce yourself and talk to like-minded individuals about their problem.
There was one more thing on this day that really made it terrible was... I'm finally in line to board the plane. This is like at like 12:10 because like the plane was late or whatever. And I get up to the scanny thing and I put my piece of paper on the scanny thing and it goes, dang, dang, dang. And the lady looks at me and she goes, this is a boarding pass for Cincinnati, Ohio. You missed your flight. It was here an hour ago. And just goes, next.
No.
And I was like, what is with you people? What is with the people in the next and the computer lady
yeah,
going?
Yeah, yeah. It's just life-destroying advice. And you're like, what am I supposed to do?
Dude, and I almost started crying. Because yeah. It was like a meltdown moment.
You have nothing. You've been sitting in the airport for 10 hours.
Yeah.
And apparently you could have left this hellscape an hour earlier. And then this lady's like, oh, you don't even have this ticket.
Yeah, no, no, no.
You got to sit here for what, another 10 hours?
I'm going to be here for the rest of my life. I'm going to become one of those guys I saw
on the
street.
You killed yourself at your hotel. And this is purgatory. Yeah. Purgatory is just, you're at an airport terminal. And you go up to try to get into heaven or hell. And they're like, actually, you missed your flight. And you got to sit down, just wait, and buy an overpriced Cinnabon. And just sit there for all eternity.
So I'm standing there just watching the rest of the people get on the plane, just going through the whole process of like, oh, I'm going to be here for another night. They're going to make me pay for another hotel room, and then I'm going to end up gambling more and losing more of the money I don't have, blah, blah, blah. And then so I'm the last person on the plane, and I go, I swear I have a ticket to Minneapolis. I will like I'll sign a contract in blood to get out of this city now. Yeah. And so she looks me up and she's like, oh, yeah, we see that there was somebody with the exact same name who had a ticket to Ohio and we got you guys confused.
Oh, so you could have just, see, if that was me, I accept because my life has been such a disaster. If someone's like, you can't board this flight, I'm like, okay, yeah, that seems about right. And I would have just immediately accepted that deal. I'd be like, okay, I guess I'm going to stay here another night. Like, it's nice that you fought it. Anyone's like, hey, actually, your life sucks. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, I'm that way
how,
too.
That's how that, sure.
If I get the wrong order at the restaurant, I go, yeah, I deserve this.
No, for sure.
Yeah, I deserve a Caesar salad, not a burger. This is what I get.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm usually that person, but it was the last straw, and I had to be like, please. I think she saw it in my eyes too. Yeah.
She's like, I just don't want to see a grown man cry
exactly.
Outside at a midnight in front of Spirit Airlines.
So I got on the plane and I got home at like 6:30 in the morning and felt terrible. But that was one of the worst days of travel, like, in my life. Like, even the little part of me just trying to get a joke off, like, had to be destroyed
any joy was eliminated.
Was eliminated.
Right.
Extinguished.
Well, that's, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Apparently what stays in Vegas is all of your money.
All of my money,
Your savings. That's it.
I was telling you, I think, earlier, but it feels good to just, you know how you detoxify your body?
Yeah.
I detoxified my bank account. Like, all of the toxic cash in there, that capitalist scum, all that shit, it's all out of there. Now it's just pure, you know, what it needs to be.
You got nothing to go but up.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I've got a streamlined bank account.
Yeah.
But you mentioned you had a story today, too.
Yeah. So just kind of the ongoing in depth. For any new listeners, my dad, he's mentally ill, a little bit of a wacky guy.
I laugh every time you say it.
And he basically, so he does like DoorDash and Postmates sort of things for, living's a struggle, but just for some money.
Yeah.
And
this is a man, I love that those apps are taking the place of like, this is a man who probably should be in like government care.
Oh yeah, for sure. And they're like, can you deliver a pizza? I know. No, there's no actual help. So they're like, hey, you're in the throes of hell. But if you want to hand me a taco while you're there, that'd be great.
No, not a mental hospital. You get in a car and I give you some Taco Bell and you bring it to somebody with money and help.
Yeah. That's probably what you should be up to. So he does that. He's always talking about getting to passengers. I was like, let's not be doing that. Let's not be
what
doing.
What do you mean?
Like doing normal Uber and Lyft driving.
Oh,
he's like, you
no.
make more money. That it'd be like, you know, boarding the Willy Wonka car.
Yeah.
He goes
through
the tunnel and he's like, "There's no way to know where we're going." Like that is what getting Uber driver my dad is. He's like, "Where we're going?" He's like, "To Ground Zero to show you how there is thermite in the base of the Twin Towers."
There's just weird pictures of bugs taped to the window. Like, whoa.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, you can't offend or like terrify bags of food.
Yeah.
That's why that's a good job for him.
You get in there, you can say whatever points about 9/11 you
exactly.
want.
Exactly. To the chicken tenders.
No one's going to be uncomfortable.
No.
So, so my grandmother was like, I'll buy you a car because he was like, had an old car for the Postmates thing. But she's like, I'll leave it entirely up to him, which is ridiculous. Insane thing to do.
I'll let my 6-year-old pick what he wants to eat for dinner.
Yeah. And then my dad was basically like, first off, first car of choice, of course, Tesla.
Okay, yes. That's the smart choice.
You know, he's like, he cares about the environment, which is good, But sometimes you gotta
I love your mom's like, I'll buy you a car. And then your dad's like, okay, it's going to be $120,000.
I just try to be like, Dad, you can't drive a $50,000 vehicle to make $4. Like, I don't even think that's an option in Postmates. It's like, what's your car? Yeah, new Tesla model. That's what I'm going to deliver this.
I would be actually freaked out.
If a Tesla pulled up? Yeah. You'd be like, I'm part of like an international hit.
Yeah. Like, are you a human trafficker or something? Why are you doing this?
You'd be like, just sell the Tesla.
Yeah.
Just sell the Tesla and you'd be done. So he got talked down the Tesla. Then he got really obsceenely into Priuses.
Okay.
To where he was like he would just rattle out facts. Like, you're hanging out with him. He's like, the thing about the Prius V, it goes 20 miles, but the other Prius, it does it. And it's just like, it was nice from the other rants. So I was like, we keep talking about Priuses.
Yeah,
but
it's not about like, QAnon or anything. Yeah,
but it's also one of the most hated cars that they're, like, nobody cares. I mean, nice gas mileage or whatever, but it's just funny to hear someone, like, obsess over
Prius. Yeah, there's
Prius.
Not really, like, a Prius racing club or anything.
Yeah.
You don't see many guys with, like, a Prius jacket being like, I got a Prius.
Yeah, it's not, but that's, my dad, a Prius neck tattoo. This man bleeds Prius. I mean, he knows the models, everything, all this man's talking about. But, he went to go try to get a car with my brother because they found, like, some affordable used Priuses. Get to the lot. And the guy, only car salesman in the universe probably said this. He's like, yeah, we're kind of chill here, so we're not going to pester you. Just like, you can look and come grab us if you want.
Oh, your dad's not having that.
No, he's already just like, hates the guy out of the gate.
Anybody with a tie
that guy's out to get me. He's like my dad. Fuck him.
Yeah.
And then basically it's parked in like kind of a tight spot or whatever. And because they're like, here's the keys if you want to test drive or whatever. He's like, not doing that. You want me to pull that out so you can crash it so you can charge me for that? And the guy was like, no, I don't. Not really the game plan. Want to sell you a car, ideally. That's kind of the profit model here.
And then go home and like have a peaceful life.
Yeah. Yeah. And then basically he was with my brother. And he just like makes my brother do it. He's just like, I'm not dealing with this shit. So your brother pulls out the car. Because you can. Because there wasn't a landmine that was about to go off.
He just put it in reverse and went straight backwards.
Yeah, yeah. And then he gets in the car. And he just hates it. He's like, drive around. He comes back, and he was just there, like, they were basically like, so how did you like the ride? And he's just like, yeah, it was pretty good, you scam artist.
He said that to the guy's face.
He called him a scam artist.
Just because he went to buy a car. Anybody. Your dad is just. Oh my god, I gotta meet him.
Yeah, no, we'll have him on the pod.
We have to. That's what you want to say. That's what everyone wants to say at a car sales.
No, it's
no
like he's
what.
Not necessarily wrong that on some level the car sales is a scam.
Well, everyone's
but,
a scam.
Yeah, but it's like that. Yeah, it was not necessary in this context whatsoever.
I would love the image of your dad driving the Prius and going like crazy fast and being like, you want me to crash it, you piece of shit? What you want. Want me to crash.
Yeah. No, it was.
Oh, my God. That's so fucking funny.
Yeah.
So we ended up not getting it.
No. I think as of right now, there's a car being sent to him. But it was basically the other car he had. He was driving until it literally stopped working. And it was like the last time I was hanging out with him, it was one of those things where like we drove somewhere for lunch. He's like, you got to have Uber or Lyft up because it's a 50% chance this car starts again.
Oh, wow.
Like, it was just like we went out for lunch. You're like, we may all go home in a little.
It might be
the last of the car. It's just it's kind of cool because it makes it like a group activity when you start the car. Like,
yeah.
It's like gambling. You're it just is. Sort of like, well, are we going to make it? You
are
know?
We going to have a shitty rest of the day?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I was stranded there. So.
My dad, so he actually came... this is just a quick one and then we'll head out. But my dad, he came and visited Chicago for the first time since I've been living here. I've been living here for 3 years. My parents have never come to visit.
Right.
And they only come because my dad is at some STD conference, some science conference about STDs. Which
I like how you're like, your dad like found a new cure to AIDS. And you're like, yeah, he was doing this STD conference. That like solved a global problem. And you're just like, yeah, whatever. He was doing whatever his little thing is. But he didn't care about he didn't care about me doing aid at a bar show or whatever.
No, he did not.
Yeah.
But my mom thought that was the funniest thing in the world. She was like, oh, you should talk about it in your stand-up, how your dad goes to meetings about STDs.
Well, it is a disease. Isn't he in science?
That is the thing he does. He that's his thing. But he was in town, so he was visiting, and he had this big plan. He was like, I'm going to take you out to this nice steakhouse, Gene and Giorgetti's. He was like, I love it. It's a classic steakhouse, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, sounds good. And I show up to the hotel room, and all I said to him when I first got there was just like, he was like, oh, are you ready to go? I was like, yeah, my stomach hurts just a little bit, so I'm going to take some Tums or whatever. And he was like, what? I was like, yeah, my stomach hurts like a little bit. And he goes, oh, fuck's sake. Like he yeah, was so genuinely mad. Pissed. Yeah, he was like, I told you I want to go to this steakhouse. Now you're going to be there and you're not going to enjoy it. And I was like, no, Dad, I'll be fine. I'll enjoy it. I just mentioned I have a little bit of a stomach ache, anxiety because you're a fucking crazy person I have to see you. Probably what it
you're
is.
You're in a steakhouse and you're going to be like just the cheapest thing there.
Yeah, exactly. And he's just like, oh, you're not going to fucking enjoy it. You're going to be miserable. You're going to be miserable. And I'm
is
like,
he
well,
just like a prophet of doom? I don't understand.
Well, that's, you know, that's his scenario.
It's over, man. It's like, it's already over.
The one thing I said, and then he calls the restaurant. He calls Gene and Giorgetti. He goes, it's cancel the reservation. We didn't end.
It was just, like in 30 seconds?
Yeah. No. This so is like insane. 45 seconds of just like, all I said was that I had a stomachache and that just hurricaned into canceling the dinner plans, going to some shitty pub for like 20 minutes, and then we ate quickly, had like two beers, and he was like, well, that's that. That's what he said at the end of our dinner. He said, that's like, that.
I hope you're happy with your little hurt stomach there.
Yeah, he goes, I'm going to walk home. He just like paid the bill and walked home. It was the weirdest. Like,
he just thought that your hurt stomach was like a personal insult. He took your health just ridiculously.
Yeah, the fact that I had to take two Tums before dinner really fucked up his whole shit. I don't understand. I was like, maybe it was just like one of those things where it was like, did the alien from Men in Black like take over my dad? Have you seen that movie?
Yeah.
Where the guy like gets the alien in him and then he goes back inside and he's like, sugar, water.
That's
what it seemed like. It seemed like my dad was just like, you don't know. You're going to have a miserable time at dinner.
I got to go pollute a water plant or whatever.
Exactly. So it's just so fucking weird.
I wonder what my dad and your dad would be like to get to dinner.
That's a Patreon.
He's like, you're a scammer. He's like, you're not even going to enjoy it. It's like crossing the streams, I feel
like. What the hell is my son done? Who are you? You're freaking me out. And your dad's just like, who the fuck are you? Why do you talk like that, you scam artist?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, this is coming out this Friday. Do you have any shows to plug? We could plug a show.
I will be headlining at a brewery back in North Carolina in Graham that I cannot think of the name of right now, but I'll be there. If you check my social media, I'll be doing it though.
Yeah, okay. So. I have shows. I have a show here at the Lincoln Lodge actually in early July. I'm doing 15 minutes, which is a lot for the city. That's a big time slot for your boy. So come on through. And again, this is where we're recording now, is at the Lincoln Lodge in Chicago. So if you're in Chicago and you want to see real comedy, come to the Lincoln Lodge. And they have awesome shows. Is it every night? It's every night.
Yep, absolutely.
So come on through. That was a hot podcast. That was a good app.
Oh, thanks, man.
You're welcome. It was a team effort.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, you just listened to another episode of Fuck You, Dad. If you could follow us on our Instagram, which is FCKYOUDAD podcast. That's the important one. We also have a Twitter account, which is FCKYOUDADPODCA1. If you could follow that. Also, please submit any father stories that you have that you'd like us to make fun of, laugh at, or share. Shoot that to our Instagram DMs. And if you could please go ahead and rate the podcast, share the podcast with your friends and family that might enjoy it, and keep listening. Thank you so much.